Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, January 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Say, do you have drippy pipes? No, it's not Medical Monday. Leaky faucet? A toilet whose water doesn't go down but up? Well, today we talk plumbing with Alan Ayers. He's the vice president of Crisafulli Brothers, which provides plumbing as well as heating and air conditioning design, installation service, and maintenance. So if you got a plumbing question, now is the time to call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers and your plumbing calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk plumbing today, and when we do that, we welcome back Alan Ayers. Alan is a licensed master plumber and vice president of Crisafulli Brothers, a family-owned and operated business for more than 80 years, providing plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical contracting services all over New York's capital region. If you have a plumbing question, get in line early. The calls are already coming in. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, and we have a few of those already. voxpop@wamc.org is the email. The number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Very good, Ray. It's glad to be back. Happy New Year to you.
And also to you. You know, the pandemic now going on a year long, it has posed special challenges to anybody who is in the service industry where you have to go into someone's home. How is your crew making out here?
Not so bad. We were early and we were able to put in some policies and practices that helped mitigate, you know, a large wave hitting us. But it's become, you know, I want to say my second part-time job, just managing COVID and COVID-related safety precautions, not to mention, you know, exposure issues if there's potential exposure. And it's definitely been, you know, pretty trying.
You know, it's like a double-edged sword. Now, we've had the plumber in several times. And, you know, for some of my family members, it freaks them out having somebody in. But mm-hmm. I had to put my foot on the other shoe, no, my shoe on the other foot, and say, God, for the plumber, it's got to be terrifying to go into so many homes as well.
Yeah. So, you know, the interesting thing about the whole pandemic is the spectrum is so large. From people that are super, you know, sensitive to it, and some people are super callous to it, and, you know, navigating that spectrum where there is no right or wrong is been a challenge, but most of our guys are pretty understanding. They really appreciate what we've done to keep them safe and to make sure that they've been offered enough tools and not only physical tools, but just education and how to, you know, do things safely as we can, I guess.
Well, hopefully at some point things will return to some semblance of normalcy. Alan Ayers is here. We talk plumbing today on Vox Pop, and Alan, we already have a stack of emails here, so let's do a few of those and then we'll hit the phones. This one is from Jane. Jane says, we have a new heat pump water heater in our basement. It's very efficient, but makes our basement and the kitchen floor above it very cold. It's nice in the summer, but too cold in the winter. Any advice about how to insulate the room around the heater without affecting its efficiency?
Oh, good question. That's becoming popular. And I would look into, or have your plumber look into, an adapter kit for the exhaust of that heat pump water heater. Many of the manufacturers recognize that it's going to emit some cold air. And if it's unwanted cold air, then you can direct that cold air outside the home or into an adjacent room or something like that. They make adapter kits for those. That would be my first thing. And then maybe you can put the cold air where you want it.
Interesting. Now, I do not know how these things work. How does one of these things actually function? If it throws cold air out, that's like getting central air if you funnel it right.
Correct. And to simplify it, it's basically a window air conditioning unit in reverse.
Huh.
So rather than the hot air being blown out of the exhaust part of the air conditioner or the unit, it's cold air because the unit is sucking all the heat from that air in order to heat the water. And if it's, you know, some people really enjoy it in a summertime because it does make the room quite cool.
That's
But then
amazing.
again, in the wintertime, I could definitely appreciate that it would make the room cold.
This one's from Ruby in Phoenicia. My hot water pressure is fine, but my cold water pressure is noticeably weaker. Any idea why?
I would look at if it's in an individual faucet, most likely it's at the individual faucet. If it's all faucets, then I would look at maybe the meter might be at meter screen may be plugged. Other than that, it could just be a bad line. Maybe it's an old house with some corroded pipes on the inside of them. I'm not too sure without a little more information.
Okay, this final email here for now is from Paula in Beacon, and then we'll hit the phones. Paula writes, "Every time I pull up the lever for the shower, the pipes make a high-pitched noise. Why does that happen, and should I be worried?" That's from Paula in Beacon.
Boy, I wish Paula was on the phone, and maybe she could imitate the noise for me.
Well, we don't want that.
It's a little bit difficult to diagnose something without understanding it. A high-pitched noise could be just a loose screw inside the shower valve, and it's vibrating ever so slightly, but yet fast enough to make a high-pitched sound. It could be, you know, maybe opening it faster rather than slower. I'm not too sure. Without really being there, it's one of those house call visits you may not like to pay for, but it's probably worth it.
Okay, fair enough. Alan Ayers is our guest today. It's Plumbing on Vox Pop, and let's grab a phone call or two before the first break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tony is in Glenville. Tony.
Hi. So I have a house that it's older, late 40s. It's on a septic system, two toilets, one directly above the other, so I'm assuming they're sharing the same drainage pipe. If you flush the upstairs toilet and someone's on the downstairs toilet, they got about 3 seconds to jump before they get splashed.
That's probably a venting issue rather than a drainage issue, honestly. It is in those old pre-World War II or just early post-World War II homes that are in the capital region, they didn't vent them as well as they could have. So very much like tipping a 2-liter Pepsi bottle upside down with no hole on the end, it just kind of clug, clug, clugs. And
Oh,
if
is that
you
something?
were to
Is it?
Go ahead, Tony.
Is that something that I could fix? I'm guessing that a pipe over that area on my roof is probably the vent. Then is that something that could be clogged? Could I shove a hose in that or something? Or
I wouldn't shove a hose in it, but if you can get up into your attic and see where that pipe is, make sure it still goes through the roof and it's still plugged or not plugged or capped off. Sometimes, you know, over the years, people have roof replacements done by, you know, a cousin's brother's friend, and they tend to, you know, maybe cap that pipe off, and that I've seen that probably 20% of the time investigating an issue like you're explaining.
But what if it is clogged up? Then what do you do? Can you remedy that on your own if you're willing to go up on your roof?
I think if you want to run the garden hose up on the roof, that's fine as long as you have a good seal. Any water that comes up is going to go down. And I would have somebody in the home, or maybe two people in this case, one on the first floor, one on the second floor, in the home, and you know, kind of giving some you know, advice like, you know, it's water's coming out of the sink or the toilet or something like that. It might be worth a try.
Yeah.
It also might be one of those strange things. When there's strange issues in your plumbing system, sometimes even though something's not actually broken, you might want to call a plumber. Have them come take a look at
Gotcha. Well, I'll try to hope, but I haven't had to pay somebody yet to come fix something. God
it.
bless living in the age of YouTube.
Good for you, man. Hey, Tony, thanks for the call. I'm sure Alan thanks you as well. Let's go
For
now
sure.
to Rita in Southfield, Massachusetts. Rita.
Hi.
Hi.
Our hot water heater stopped putting out hot water every several days, and then my husband has to go down and take two buckets of water out, and then we'll get hot water again. And we've had three different people out. They don't know what it is, can't fix it, don't know why it happens. So,
Interesting.
do
Do
you?
you have an electric water heater or a gas water heater?
It's gas.
Okay, and do you have any idea how old your water heater is?
About 15 years.
Oh.
Oh, I would imagine. So the thermostat that senses the water temperature is a metal, bimetallic metal button that's basically adhered to the side of the steel tank. And that's what tells the water heater that it's hot or hot enough or needs to come on or go off. And over time, you know, it just doesn't have a great reliability factor. And at 15 years old, I would, you know, if you were my sister, I would say, hey, let's replace that water heater. It's beyond its life cycle.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. I wish I had better news. I really do, but it would probably be in your best interest to at least budget for replacing it, as you know, when you can.
All right, Rita, thanks a lot. We'll take a quick break here. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Plumbing Today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Back in a flash. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551. If you have a plumbing question for Alan Ayers, Alan joins us today from Chris Afully Brothers. A few emails here and then back to the phones. This one is from Kathy in the town of Seward. And Kathy writes, my relatively new toilets are extremely slow to refill. What's their problem?
Oh, I would always start at the beginning of the alphabet and check your supply shut off right at the base of the toilet. Make sure that's all the way open. And to do that correctly, you would close it all the way, then open it all the way to make sure that there isn't any, you know, false seating or anything like that. And if that's not the case, then it may just be something in the lines leading up to that bathroom. Could be, you know, a plugged line, or maybe when the plumber did some work, something got in there, or it's an old galvanized line.
This one, all right. This one's from Jimmy, and Jimmy says, can I put a commercial toilet in my home? I think I need an inch and a half supply.
Jimmy wants to put a flush-type toilet in his home.
That's right.
You can definitely do it, Jimmy. You have to have enough volume of water, and it's not just the pressure. So that's why it's a large pipe, but you can supply one single flush-type toilet with your standard 3/4 inch or 1 inch house supply by putting in a section of maybe 2 inch pipe somewhere in the basement, so you have some volume in the line, maybe a 10-foot piece of 2 inch pipe. That'd be interesting. I'd love to see a picture of it, Jimmy.
This one is from Dick. Dick says, I own two heat pumps outside connected to 6 indoor mini split heating and cooling units. The lines between the outdoor and indoor units are insulated, except for the final 2 inches right up against the outdoor heat pumps. Why is this final 2 inches not insulated? Should I buy some insulation or leave the pipes bare?
I would buy some insulation for sure.
So there's really no
insulate those pipes.
No reason for that then. Okay.
No reason.
This
as long as they can access the service valves.
All right.
That's fine, which are pretty apparent.
This one's from Donna. Donna says, without using caustic commercial products, what is your recommendation for keeping drains running freely?
Oh, boy, I really don't have. There's some natural bacteria you can buy from a septic tank store that do wonders for the septic tanks. But to keep your plumbing running freely, you know, I wouldn't say much other than an extra flush here and there, like maybe an extra flush a day, just to keep things moving along and wash out anything that's residual from the previous, you know, usage.
Now, what I would use in the kitchen sink from time to time, and my wife always thought I was just a mental case as usual, but I would put vinegar in and then baking soda and just watch it bubble up and figured it would do something. I'm not sure if it helped.
It would do something locally, sure. That first couple of feet of your kitchen sink, that would definitely do something there. That's an old thing for like the P-trap underneath the sink.
Yeah,
that would definitely help things.
So, all right, maybe I had a point there. This one's from Mark, and then we'll get back to the phones. Mark says, what does it mean if you turn on a hot water tap and after about 30 seconds the water pressure goes down and is followed by a high-pitched whistling sound? This happens every time I turn on the hot water in my bathroom sink. Have you ever heard of this before, and is there any danger? And that's from Mark.
Mark, there's no danger, no danger at all. It is most likely the same issue we talked about earlier. There may be something, a plugging line, a galvanized line that's, you know, seen its life expectancy and it's getting plugged, or a loosed screw, or one of the seats and washers, they still use those a little bit, may be dislodged from the faucet. Okay. So I would monkey around with opening it slowly or quickly and see if there's any kind of respite for the noise. Otherwise, you'd have to really, you know, hire a plumber to come listen to it and take a look.
All right, but Mark is probably not in imminent danger at this time.
Not at all.
All right, fair enough. Alan Ayers is our guest. Back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Susan in Latham. Susan, you're on.
Hi, I have another hot water heater issue.
Sure.
It's electric, and I'm on a well, and it started leaking from the pressure valve a little while back, few weeks ago, and it's not a lot of water coming out, and it's not hot water coming out, and my water temperature is 130, so it's not like it's cooking too hot, I don't think, and I don't think it's a pressure problem. And I had a guy come, and he said that it's not fixable, but he said he changed the valve for me, which is what I asked him to do, because I heard that they can fail. It stopped leaking for one day, and $250 later, I'm wondering what I do now.
Oh, boy. So maybe you could do me a favor and try to remember, is there next to the water heater on the piping, is there another tank about the size of a balloon, like a birthday balloon? An expansion tank is what it's called. Do you recall seeing that next to your water heater?
I don't think so.
That would be my guess. Honestly, my guess is you don't have the expansion tank there. In today's water systems, no matter what town you're in anymore, they're a lot tighter than they were back in the 40s and 50s, meaning there's less leaks underground. And that, that the tightness of the water system is making any fluctuations in the entire system around your neighborhood or your city affect that pressure relief valve that's on the side of your water
heater. I'm on well water.
Oh, you're on a well.
Maybe your well pump is set a little high. Is what do you have your pressure set at? Do you know? Is it maybe, you know, instead of 30 and 50, is it maybe, you know, 50 and 70? Maybe it's building a little bit too much pressure up. Do you know when the last time you had a well service done?
I don't. It's a long time.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
If I
you may want to have somebody.
Say it again, Susan.
I was going to say, can I get one of those pressure gauge things to put on the system and check that?
Sure, absolutely. You can put one right to your kitchen faucet even. They sell them at the local hardware store or your local plumbing supply shop.
All right. Well, good luck, Susan. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551, the number. Alan Ayers from Chris Afully Brothers joins us today. And Rick in Cairo. Rick, you're up.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great program.
Thank you.
I have a 20-year-old cape, and it came plumbed to the upstairs, but we didn't put the bathroom in right away. We eventually, I got a plumber in, and he put the bathroom in it, and he tied the vent pipe into the other bathroom downstairs pipe, and we had some vent issues. So I went and actually eliminated that and put it out its own separate vent, and that didn't actually help. And I've actually run faucets down it and everything to try to see if there was any blockage, and it didn't seem to be any blockage at all. So my son was telling me something about a Studer vent, that maybe I'm somehow sucking water out of my traps so that the vent is open. Any suggestions?
You know, it's a really difficult one, not knowing how the actual configuration of venting was within the walls. If it was a reputable plumber that did the installation, I wouldn't question it as much. But a lot of times we hire, you know, somebody's cousin or brother or you know, chuck in a truck. And
the only thing he had to do is the vent pipe, because all the rest of the plumbing came in the home. So, you know, it was a modular home. So it came already connected. But all he had to do was connect the vent. And I ended up separating the vent, so it's all on its own. But it seems like sometimes if you flush the upstairs bathroom, it causes an issue in the downstairs bathroom with an odor from the septic. I was thinking of just cutting the pipe and putting another trap in, you know, in my basement.
You definitely wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to put another trap in between that and your septic tank, or another trap in your basement. That would just be a potential clogging issue. I think you're on the right path. It's definitely a venting issue, without a doubt.
And the modulars, they run the pipes all inside the wall. You know, it's really, and it's on the kitchen wall, so it's like impossible to get to, you know, unless you take the whole house apart.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I wish I could, you know, see through those walls and see how they connected all the pipes. You know, at the factory, when they make these modulars, you know, they're not craftsmen putting the plumbing in, quite honestly.
Okay. Well, Rick, you know, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Linda is in Troy. Hello, Linda.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Yeah. 5 years ago, I had a new boiler put in. I've got a row house here from the 1890s in South Troy, and the two floors are on the boiler with radiators. Well, I had actually had two boilers. And one of them started leaking. These were dinosaurs, like Montgomery Wards from the 1950s, you know, like really old. So I got a new high-tech one put in, and they just replaced the two and put in one. Well, the two floors, right, two zones. And the first floor doesn't ever get as warm as the second floor. It's always 10 degrees. It's below what I have it set at, you know, just like struggling. And the kitchen on the first floor, they put it on the wrong zone. So it's on the zone for the second floor, and it's always really cold in there. So I'm trying to analyze the problem. Could it be an issue that it's just not getting hot enough because it's on the wrong zone and it's so much warmer on the second floor? Or is my radiator too small? I think I need to get a bigger radiator anyhow, but I'm just wondering if I should, you know, be concerned with that it's on the wrong zone, if that's an issue, because they want to charge like $800 to put it on the right zone.
Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you a question about your radiators. Do you have some of those old, beautiful cast iron radiators?
Yes, that's what I've got. Uh-huh.
Okay. Chances are one would have to do an actual load calculation. And a lot of the plumbers today forego going through the actual calculations for boiler sizing. Radiators, we need to know the size, depth, width, height of all radiators in the entire house before we can put a new boiler in to make sure that we have enough boiler. And sometimes in those row houses, we've had to install two of those high-efficiency boilers rather than one because the load is so great. And if you remember those old 1950s Montgomery Ward boilers, they were a lot larger than the one you have, I'm sure, hanging on the wall.
Well, as I recall, it was much warmer before. I mean, I went through NYSERDA, and I got a special loan from them, you know, to switch over to a high efficiency. And I was, frankly, I was shocked that I went down to this one small little boiler compared to those dinosaurs that I had. But, everything,
Linda,
you know, I mean, they were supposed to know what they were doing, you know.
I'm sure if you were to call any reputable local plumber, and ask them to come and evaluate your system, they would do it for free. I'm sure of it.
Okay,
I mean,
there's,
if my phone were to ring in maybe an hour, I would probably make sure somebody did a good evaluation for you.
Alan Ayers is our guest today. It's Plumbing on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number. Cliff is calling from where are you calling from, Cliff?
Westtown.
Ah, well, you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. So when it's mainly we notice it in our upstairs bathroom. When we flush the bathroom toilet, a really nasty smell comes up from somewhere. We think, but we think it's, we're wondering if the septic tank needs to be emptied or is it some other problem?
The second floor only. How about the first floor? Does it happen on the first
floor? We've not noticed it in the downstairs. We only noticed it when we're upstairs in the upstairs bath in one of the upstairs bathrooms.
Okay. And do you recall the last time your septic tank was cleared?
It must have been before we moved in. We've been there. We're into our third year, so not in our time.
Okay, that would be my first. Let's rule that out, and you're probably due anyhow, so it's not wasted money for sure. If the flow of water is not good enough to go through the crusted over septic tank, it might create a backup at the vent or something, and give you a smell. That would be my first try. I would have that septic tank cleared out.
Okay, that we were thinking of that, so that confirms our suspicion.
Well, Cliff, thanks very much for the call, and nice to hear you. Nice accent. It's Vermont or Rhode Island, or something. I'm not sure. New Jersey. Kathy in Guilderland. Kathy, you're on.
Yes. I have a on-demand hot water heater that we had put in a couple of years ago, and our house is 6,000 square feet. And before, when we had just a regular hot water heater, we had a recirculating pump that was going all the time. Now, when we ask for water, like first thing in the morning, it might go for 2 or 3 minutes before it gets hot enough.
Oh.
Is there something that could be done?
Absolutely. We could have installed, the plumber could have installed another, the recirculating line as well, for sure. And as soon as it went on, it would pull it faster.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Why would it keep recirculating if there's no water being asked for? It only is on demand,
Right. So sometimes we would there's a remote recirculator we could put underneath the sink that every time you used the cold water, it would draw a little bit of hot water too, just to keep the hot water closer. That would be not ideal, but much better than waiting 2 or 3 minutes. You wouldn't have to wait quite as long.
All right, Kathy, thanks a lot. So the reason that Kathy gets cold water at times because the house is big and there's cold water in the pipes that have to be flushed when the hot water comes through?
Well, the on-demand water heater is not producing or storing, or there's no reservoir, if you will, for hot water to be there. In the old system she had, they were circulating the water in and out of the tank to keep hot water closer to the faucet.
Right.
But in order to do that, then you would be running the water heater all the time because you'd be having this constant flow. That's when it turns on, is when there's flow.
Mm. Okay, and it would negate the beautiful efficiency of the on-demand.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Alan Ayers is our guest. 800-348-2551, the number. Jim in Wappingers Falls. Hello, Jim.
How are you today?
Good.
Okay, so the question is, I live in a 1827 Greek Revival, and the downstairs we have a furnace, and the upstairs is heated with a boiler. And it's a pretty big place, and it's an empty nest. The kids have moved out, and I'm wondering how hard is it to, and expensive is it to break down the upstairs boilers into three different zones for the boiler to work in? Do you follow?
I do follow. What type of terminal units do you have? Do you have like baseboard along your baseboard, or do you have old radiators?
No, this is old-fashioned radiators.
Okay.
And so we're basically looking for three different zones, one for the, we call it the master bedroom, one for the middle bedroom, and one for the back bedroom. Mm-hmm. And each of these things have an adjoining bath. So
with each of those with those old radiators, the beautiful thing is you have some valves there, flow valves. You can turn those valves off, assuming they work, in each of the room. So if the children are off to college, you could walk in and just turn their valves off. And
I've never been able to, even though, yeah, I know that you're supposed to be able to do that, but I've never been able to do that because some of these don't have any valves.
Okay. So that might be a little bit easier of a fix, a more convenient and cost-effective of a fix, is to having those valves installed or serviced. Otherwise, yeah, we can definitely put zone valves on any plumbing or heating company that's local to you. I'm sure can put some zone valves and or zone circulator pumps in and split those rooms out.
Okay. And rather than having to rewire the whole place, if we put a thermostat in the master bedroom, because that's really the only room we heat upstairs, is there like a wireless thermostat that I don't have to do the physical rewiring all over again?
100%. Yep, wow. 100% for sure.
Very cool. Jim, we got to take a break here. Let's do that right now. Alan Ayers is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Back for the home stretch in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. The number to call is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Alan Ayers of Crisafulli Brothers. We talked plumbing today, and Alan, one email, and then back to the phones. This one's from Mary. Mary says, we're trying to turn on a hot water heater in a recently purchased house. Oh, I think I have the answer to this. Do you have any suggestions if the igniter sparks, but the pilot does not light? We have turned on gas to it and hold the igniter for approximately 2 minutes. Do you think the pilot tip might be clogged? And that's from Mary.
Mary, you're probably right. Or there's a screen on some of those water heaters that may be dirty and it's not sensing enough airflow. Or it could be a flame sensor or a gas valve issue.
What about definitely a thermocoupler?
It could be. An older water heater would absolutely have a thermocouple.
I've had
for sure.
Had to replace about 8,000 of those in my day. So they're not expensive, but you know, the trick is not to blow up the house when you're doing.
That's the trick.
Alan Ayers is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. David in Orwell, Vermont. David, you're on.
Great show. Thank you for taking me a call. Alan, I've got a question about water pressure. My home is older, 1910. It's on a municipal water system. I believe there's a copper 3/4-inch pipe that comes in from the street. And there's a T-tap on it that goes to an outside faucet. And the water pressure there is amazing. So much so that if I don't put on a very nice garden hose, it tends to destroy the older ones. But right after that T-tap, there's a device which I think is a pressure reducer for the remaining plumbing throughout the house. And the water pressure is sort of the opposite. It's just ho-hum. Showers are pretty uninspiring. There's not a lot of pressure there. I'm just wondering what the purpose of that valve would be to reduce pressure in a house coming off of the street. And where should that be placed in a house?
The reduced pressure valve should be installed right after the meter so that your whole system is being protected from the high pressure. Someone in the municipality recognized, or the previous owners recognized, that there was high water pressure, and the high water pressure can definitely shorten the lifespan of all your piping and plumbing because it's just too much pressure. Maybe someone wanted, I don't know, I can only speculate that somebody would want the outside spigot to have high pressure so they can hose off cars or lawnmowers or something like that. But it should be adjustable. A lot of them are adjustable. There may be a nut on the top of the pressure reducing valve.
If there's
a lock nut and a screw, I would loosen the lock nut and maybe just tighten down on the top bonnet nut a little bit, a quarter turn at a time, and you might be able to get a little bit more pressure to the rest of the house if that's what you desire.
Also, Alan, you've talked a lot today about water heaters. I just wanted a quick opinion from you. If I wanted to come off of using oil, an oil zone for hot water, is there some way to compare these heat pump style water heaters versus the on demand that might be put under a vanity sink or a kitchen sink? Is that apples to oranges, or is there any way a homeowner can determine what might be the most efficient type to put in?
Oh, it's lifestyle, really. I'm not too sure how many people live in a home. It's probably a pretty big home from 1910. You may want to have a central water heating plant. And if it were my choice, I would go with the heat pump water heater centrally located to feed the whole home rather than the oil-fired or off the boiler. Redundancy is nice. If you have an electric water heater and you have an oil boiler, if the oil goes out for one reason or another, at least you can still take a warm shower.
All right, David, thanks a lot for the call. And now we go to Stone Ridge. And John, you're on.
Hey, how's it going? Alan, thanks a lot. My question is about a toilet that I have. The issue is that about 5 feet down the line, there's a T intersection, and occasionally it gets clogged. The only way for me to unclog it is to take the toilet off and snake it. It's, you know, a bad setup, but my question is, in order to fix that, we would have to cut into the floor joists, which we're not interested in doing. Would a pressure-assisted toilet help us out here?
It may. It may help you clear that beginning part. How far away, again, is this? 5 feet, maybe? It may help
you
at
5 feet. I kind of feel like it's worth a shot that is sort of inexpensive as opposed to cutting into floor joists and fixing the piping issue.
Correct. But, and there's also a couple of gravity toilets that tout they are able to flush 200 golf balls.
Wow.
And they're pretty good. There's a couple of brands that make, you know, a high volume water closet where I've seen them work really well in an instance where you have susceptible to clogging. And I would look at that before pressure assisted. The more complicated you make something, the more complicated it becomes and more apt to failure.
John.
They're called gravity toilets?
Yep, just a normal toilet. There's a couple of name brands out there that make them, Toto, American Standard, and Kohler being some of the ones at the top of my head that make a, you know, if you were to do an internet search on 200 golf ball toilet, you'll probably get a lot of hits on that.
200 golf ball? I mean, does that happen a lot, people flushing golf balls?
I've seen it all.
I bet you have.
David, I've seen it.
Alan Ayers is our guest today. The number is 800-348-2551. Jill in Longmeadow. Jill, you're on. Hello? Hello, Jill. How you doing? Hello, Jill. Goodbye, Jill. You wasted too much time. Tony in Del Mar. Tony, you're on.
Hello. Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Recently, I installed a tankless hot water heater, and with a rather large house, I created a recirculating loop in the basement. It all works very nice, but the recommendation was to put a check valve in so that when the circulator pump ran during low usage, it wasn't pushing hot water back into the cold water side. I put a swing check valve in, and it clunks every time I open and shut a cold water faucet. So I'm thinking I need to put in a spring check valve, but I'm also wondering, is a check valve really necessary? Can I get away without it?
Oh, you may want to put the check valve in to keep hot water from migrating through your cold water faucets. It'd be wasteful and a little bit, of a nuisance to if you're going to pour, you know, a glass of water and you get hot water for the first 90 seconds. So I would suggest putting the spring check in for sure, and also keeping the check valve in.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. Alan Ayers is our guest from Crisafulli Brothers. And looks like we go to New Paltz now. Ann in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know if it was safe to use Drano or some similar product, if it's safe for the pipes and the septic.
It's, the caustic materials aren't the safest things in the world to use because they do deteriorate the piping. If you use them sparingly once a year or fewer times than that, I'm sure it wouldn't be that much of a problem. But too much overusage will end up creating just faster decay of the piping. And the septic tank, I don't think it would affect that either.
Sorry.
But definitely the piping will be affected by the caustic.
Okay, and thanks so much for the call. And let's go to Chatham. And John, you're on. Hello? Seems very quiet. Zach, the engineer, is raising his hands to the sky. All right, well, we apologize, John. You're apparently there, but there's no audio. So now we'll go to someone else, and maybe there'll be some audio. Hello, Becky and Warren Town, you're on. Hello?
Hello?
You're on.
Hi, sorry. I have a sprinkler system in my house, and there's water dripping out of where the pressure valve is, or where the pressure scale is, and the control valve. I was wondering if that was okay.
Nope.
Oh boy.
That's definitely not okay.
Okay.
No, for sure. You're going to want to call your local sprinkler company and have them come take a look-see, and just to make sure that in the event you ever need that sprinkler system, that it's up and up to date and working properly. So I would definitely, make an appointment.
Okay.
You're in no danger. I wouldn't fret making the appointment sometime in the next week or two, but I would definitely get somebody over to take a look at it.
Could I tell you what the PSI is?
Sure.
It's about like a little over 180. Is that normal or is that low?
No, that's excessive. That's really excessive. 100 PSI,
oh, okay.
180 PSI is pretty excessive. And I would,
okay.
I would definitely make that appointment for, whenever, in the next week or so. Otherwise,
okay.
Leak is going to get bigger and you could be in store for something unpleasant.
Okay. Thank you.
Becky, thanks a lot for the
You're
call.
You're welcome.
Alan Ayers is our guest today on the program. And now let's go to Half Moon. John, you're on.
Yes. I have a hot air natural gas furnace, and it runs a high percentage of time fine. But every now and then, the thermostat will have to reset it, turn it off, and then turn it back on, and then it'll run fine for quite a while. And it happens every now and then. We don't know when it's going to happen, and that's not good.
No. True. It sounds like your high limit switch.
Well, it's essential air runs fine, so the thermostat I'm thinking is maybe good. But you said high limit switch?
Yeah, there's a high limit switch, and that will shut a furnace down if the furnace itself, the furnace heat exchanger, becomes too hot. And when that happens, that's due to usually maybe not enough airflow. It could be a plugged filter. It could be maybe you have a lot of vents shut off. Maybe you're an empty nester like the last caller, and you have a lot of the bedrooms shut down or something like that. Just not enough airflow, and it's creating heat, or just a bad sensor. But I'm sure you could YouTube search it and for your specific model, or you could call a heating contractor, have them come out and take a look-see.
All right, John, good luck. Thanks a lot for the call. Sean is in Ulster County. Sean, you're on.
Yes, good morning. I have a hot air or a hot water boiler, and recently had it serviced, had to have the coil taken out and cleaned. And doing some work, the plumber took it upon himself to remove the mixing valve and replaced it with a ball valve. Now, on the first floor of the house, I burned myself constantly at the kitchen sink. But yet, now that cold weather's here, I'm not getting adequate hot water upstairs in the bathroom. Do you feel I need to open that ball valve during the cold weather?
Yeah, boy, oh boy. Was his name Chuck, and did he have a truck?
Hey now. No names, no. Please. That's all right.
No, that's a fictitious
name. No, I understand what you're saying. Okay. All right, Sean, go ahead.
He did have a truck.
Well, that's a start.
He did.
All right, Alan.
I would definitely suggest having the mixing valve put in.
A mixing valve put in? Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I would ask him to come put it back
in. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, you definitely want to control the temperature of the hot water going to your faucets. You don't want to risk anybody getting injured.
All right, Sean, good luck, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And now how about Kathleen in Johnstown? Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
You're on.
Okay, I've got a question. About 6 months ago, I changed the shower head because it had really slowed down. It was old. It was about 15 years old. So I put a new one on. It ran great for about 6 months, and now it's slowing down. My question is, I know I have lime in my water because I have gotten it in the base of the hot water heater, and I've had to clean that out and vacuum that out. But how would I get it out of the shower head? Should I remove it and rinse it good with vinegar, or is there something that you can use on it?
There is.
And it's a well. I have well water.
The product I'm thinking of, and I may get it wrong, I think it's KLR.
CLR.
CLR, there you go.
That's good stuff.
If you were to soak it in maybe in your bathroom sink or your kitchen sink or a bucket of water, and this CLR, it will go. It will chew up the lime and mineral deposits and clean that thing overnight, and then you can put it back on the next day. It'd be fantastic.
Oh, great. I have that CLR, by the way.
It makes a big difference.
So that'll be good. I just never thought about using it.
Oh, well, that's a good start. Good time to start. Kathleen, thanks
there
a lot.
There it is.
Alan Ayers, I think we have time for at least one more here. Let's see. We're going to go to Del Mar. And Larry in Del Mar. Hello, Larry in Del Mar.
Hello, Alan. Thanks very much. A few years ago, we had a sump pump failure and a basement flood. So I'd like to know, first, how often do you replace a sump pump, even if it's working? And what kind of backup system can you have in case of a power failure?
Okay, great questions, and I'm happy to help. If your pump is running more than once a day, if you notice that it's running and two, three, four times a day, or like the one at my house, I have one running. It turns on probably every 10 minutes. It's running often. I replace that once a year out of preventative maintenance. So I would say maybe every 2 years replace yours. For sure. Yeah, if it runs a lot. If it's only running once a week or once a month or something like that, then maybe you can get 3 or 4 years out of it. But it's a lot cheaper than the deductible on your homeowner's insurance for a flood. That's for sure.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well,
and as far as backups go, I like a battery backup as long as you maintain the batteries. Like any battery, if we don't maintain that battery, it won't be there when we want it. The other version is a water-powered backup sump pump.
Really?
And it goes, you connect it to your incoming water line to the house, and when the water's activated, the water pressure, like on a pinwheel, it creates... the pump starts working, you can pump it out as a secondary means. Or you could just put two pumps in, if you will, powered pumps, and then a backup one on the floor after that. It depends on how much usage. Is it going off often?
It's definitely going off at least once a day.
Yeah. I'm nervous when it comes to – I've had a flood at my own house before. Years ago, and I'm nervous about it. So I put in two standard pumps, one about 6 inches higher than the other one, and then I did a battery backup pump in addition to those two pumps. Again, maybe that's a little bit overkill, but that's what I did at my house.
Well, and Alan Ayers,
I just maintained a battery.
Hey, man, we are done here. Thank you so much for being with us today. Great job.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. I love it and look forward to more callers again in the future.
We'll talk to you soon. Support comes from Mother Earth Storehouse, open 7 days, working to help keep our communities safe and supplied with EDC goods and services, serving the Hudson Valley with organic and all-natural foods since 1978. MotherEarthStorehouse.com. and the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting Pine Bush Perspectives, a juried photo exhibit open now through February, as a story walk along the trail behind the Discovery Center. AlbanyPineBush.org. Once again, thanks to Alan Ayers of Chris Foley Brothers for joining us today. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Jackie Orchard, our producer. Phones answered by James Farrison. I'm Ray Graff. Well, we had some snow. It's going to be bitter cold. So let's do the gardening show. Tomorrow at 2, we'll get our green thumbs out of wherever they are, and we'll do the gardening show. Right now, stand by for 51%.